and gentlemen, Ed Bozeman, Lynchburg, Ohio, and the God is Just a Prayer Away radio broadcast. It is written, all the churches of Christ salute you. It is written, and they stripped him and put on him a scarlet robe. It is written, and they platted a crown of thorns and put it upon his head. It is written, and they led him away to be crucified. It is written, and Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. It is written, Christ died for our sins. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things are now finished, that the scripture might be accomplished, saith, I thirst. There was set there a vessel full of vinegar. So they put a sponge full of the vinegar upon hyssop and brought it to his mouth. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, It is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. A hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain. Oh, that old rugged cross so despised by the world has a wondrous attraction for me. For the dear Lamb of God left his glory above to bear it to dark Calvary. In the old rugged cross, stained with blood so divine, a wondrous beauty I see. For 'twas on that old cross Jesus suffered and died to pardon and sanctify me. To the old rugged cross I will ever be true. Its shame and reproach gladly bear. Then he'll call me someday to my home far away, where his glory forever I'll share. Ladies and gentlemen, listen to this gospel message entitled, They Pierced Him. When our Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross, the soldiers came and brake the legs of the first, then of the other that was crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was dead already, they brake not his legs. Howbeit, one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and straightway there came out blood and water. That day the scripture was fulfilled. They shall look on him whom they have pierced. However, they pierced our Lord Jesus Christ in more ways than one. For one thing, they pierced him with a crown of thorns. The soldiers platted a crown of thorns and put it on his head, and arrayed him in a purple garment and kneeled down before him in mockery and said, Hail, King of the Jews! Now it was appropriate that they should think of the crown of thorns, because in the Garden of Eden, thorns were a part of the curse. God told Adam, Because thou hast done this thing, and hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee thou shouldest not eat, cursed is the ground for thy sake. Thorns and thistles shall it bring to thee. Then on the cross, when Jesus died, Paul reminds us that Christ was made a curse for us. Actually, the multitude offered Jesus a crown when he fed the 5,000, but he refused that crown. And now at the crucifixion, they gave him a crown of thorns. They shall look upon him whom they pierced. In the book of Revelation 19, John tells how Jesus will return as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, wearing many crowns. Jesus was king in the cradle. Where is he that is born King of the Jews? He was king at the triumphal entry. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He was king at his trial. Hail, King of the Jews! He was declared by Pilate to be king on the cross. This is Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. In 2 Samuel, David captured the city of Rabbah and took the crown of the king of the Ammonites and put it on his head. That crown weighed a talent. A talent weight is about 75 pounds. When Jesus comes again, the many crowns he will wear, whatever the combined weight in tons those crowns may be, rest assured they will rest easily on the head of omnipotence. Remember that one of his crowns will be the crown of the King of the Church. The Church is the kingdom of God. And we need to remember that the Church is not a democracy. It is a theocracy. And whenever the King makes a law, we have no vote on the matter. He will be wearing many crowns, but he will not be wearing the crown of thorns. Because he willingly wore the crown of thorns, the saints will be able through his grace to wear the crown of righteousness that Paul tells about in 2 Timothy 4. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, but not only for me, but to all them who have loved his appearing. Remember also that the Apostle Peter told the elders of the church, if they were faithful in the work of the eldership when the chief shepherd appears, they would be given a crown of glory that would never fade away. But it is with sober consideration that we remember the warning Jesus gave two churches in Revelation. To one church he said, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee the crown of life. He told another, hold fast that which thou hast, that no one take thy crown. It will be very easy for the devil to snatch the crown off your head by teaching a false doctrine that denies the gospel plan of salvation. In Revelation 4, we read of 24 elders standing before the throne, arrayed in white garments and wearing crowns of gold. When they worship the Lord, they cast their crowns before the throne. As Christians, we do not need to wait until we get to heaven to cast our crowns before the throne. Look at the one who was pierced with the crown of thorns, and take the crown of your life here on earth, whether it be your intellect, your money, your greatest talent, your greatest ability, and cast it at the foot of the cross. The trouble of it is many people today who have great talent and ability in many areas have taken the crown of their life and cast it at the foot of the devil himself. They shall look on him whom they pierced. But not only did they pierce him with a crown of thorns, they also pierced him when they drove the nails through his hands and feet. The piercing of the hands and feet was prophesied by David 1,000 years before it happened in the 22nd Psalm, when he declared, they shall pierce my hands and my feet. At a crucifixion, the nails were not allowed to pierce any vital organ, neither the heart, brain, or arteries, or any other vital organ to hasten death. This meant a person could live for days in the agony of crucifixion. However, they did not take the life of Jesus. He gave it willingly. In John 10, he said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd layeth down his life for the sheep. No one taketh my life from me. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. When the nails were driven through the hands of Jesus, there is a further dimension to the piercing of the nails that we need to consider. Paul tells us in Colossians 2:12, buried with him in baptism, wherein ye were also raised with him through faith in the working of God, who raised him from the dead. And you, being dead through your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, you, I say, did he make alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses, having blotted out the bond written in ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he hath taken it out of the way, nailing it to the cross, having despoiled the principalities and the power, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. The Dutch painter Van Rembrandt, back in the 1600s, painted many biblical scenes. In one of his paintings depicting the crucifixion, he painted his own face on the soldier driving the nails through the hands of Jesus. Those who saw the picture said, "Look, Rembrandt did it. He crucified Jesus." Ladies and gentlemen, I do not know what kind of a picture you can conjure up on the canvas of your imagination regarding the crucifixion of Jesus, but any picture that leaves you out of the picture is a false impression, because the weight of your sins and mine was on the hand that held the hammer, that drove the nails through the hands of Jesus and riveted him to those timbers of torture we call the cross. You are the one who crucified Jesus. Who did it? I did it. When the hands of Jesus were nailed to the cross, my sins were nailed there also on the cross. Now listen to the words of the gospel hymn that tell us, "There was one who was willing to die in my stead, that a soul so unworthy might live, and the path to the cross he was willing to tread, all the sins of my life to forgive. They are nailed to the cross, they are nailed to the cross. Oh, how much he was willing to bear! With what anguish and loss Jesus went to the cross, but he carried my sins with him there." When Jesus appeared to the apostles after the resurrection in the upper room on Resurrection Sunday, Thomas was not with them. And when he heard that he had appeared, Thomas said, "I will not believe unless I put my finger into the print of the nails and see in his hand the print of the nails and put my hand into his side. I will not believe." Then the next Sunday, Jesus appeared again and told Thomas, "Reach hither thy finger and see my hands, and reach hither thy hand and put it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing." Thomas answered, "My Lord and my God." And then for our benefit, Jesus said to him, "Because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen me and yet have believed. They shall look upon him whom they pierced." The gospel song says, "We saw thee not when thou didst come into this world of sin and death, nor did we behold that humble cottage home in that despised Nazareth. But we believe thy footsteps trod its streets and plains, thou Son of God. We saw thee not when lifted high amongst that wild and savage crew, nor heard we that imploring cry, 'Forgive, they know not what they do.' But we believe the deed was done that shook the earth and veiled the sun. We looked not in the open tomb where once thy mangled body lay, nor saw thee in the upper room, nor walk with thee along the way. But we believe the angels said, 'Why seek the living with the dead?' We walk not with the chosen few who saw thee from the earth ascend, who raised to heaven their wondering view and then to earth all prostrate bend. But we believe that human eyes beheld that journey to the skies. they shall look upon him whom they have pierced. They pierced him with a crown of thorns. They pierced him with nails in hands and feet. And then they pierced his heart with a spear. The chief priest asked of Pilate that the legs of the three on the crosses might be broken to hasten their death. And so when they came to Jesus, they saw that he was dead already, and they brake not his legs. Howbeit, one soldier, to be sure, pierced his side, and straightway there ran out blood and water. As the blood and water ran out, it is easy to see a parallel in the piercing of the side of Jesus in the two ordinances of baptism and the Lord's Supper. His ministry began in the water at baptism and ended in the blood on the cross. They shall look upon him whom they have pierced. Rock of ages, cleft for me. Let me hide myself in thee. Now this was a prophetic act. It was the fulfillment of prophecy 500 years before it happened in Zechariah 12. They shall look on him whom they pierced. The importance of the piercing of the side of Jesus has a prophetic importance as seen in an incident in the life of Moses. In Exodus 33, when Moses was about to receive the Ten Commandments for the second edition, he made a request of God. He said, "Lord, show me thy glory." God said, "Thou canst not see my face, for no one can see my face and live." Then the Almighty said, "Behold, there is a place by me. There is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock. And it shall come to pass, while my glory passeth by, that I will put thee in the cleft of the rock, and cover thee with my hand while I pass by. And I shall take away mine hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen." As God passed by Moses, he saw the departing glory of God. Remember, God said, "There is a place by me." That place by the Lord God was a rock. The rock that Paul referred to when he said in 1 Corinthians 10, "For I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that our fathers were all under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual food, and did all drink the same spiritual drink. For they drank of a spiritual rock that followed them, and the rock was Christ." Standing in the cleft of that rock was the only place where Moses could see the departing glory of God. Remember, there is a rock at the side of God. The rock by the side of God is the same as the one whose side was pierced on the cross and arose from the dead and ascended to heaven and sat down at the right hand of the Father. And we behold him who hath been made a little lower than the angels, even Jesus, because of the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that by the grace of God he should taste of death once for every man. Stand on the rock and in the cleft of that rock and see the glory of God and live forever. It is there that we can see the glory of God as much as can be seen on this side of the Jordan. Remember, Jesus said to Philip in John 14, "He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. Stand on the rock." Fanny Crosby expressed it well in her well-known gospel song. A wonderful Savior is Jesus my Lord, a wonderful Savior to me. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock, where rivers of pleasure I see. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock, that shadows a dry, thirsty land. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock, and covers me there with his hand. They shall look upon him whom they have pierced. Stand on the rock. Actually, it is better if there is a similar experience of seeing the one who is pierced when we hear the preaching of the gospel. On the day of Pentecost, the church was born, and they heard the preaching of the gospel for the first time. There were thousands of them who were pricked in their hearts. They looked at that one who was pierced, and then their hearts were pierced when they realized their desperate and hopeless situation. They cried out to the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Peter told those who believed the gospel to repent ye and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. 3,000 obeyed those terms of forgiveness that day and stood on the rock. God said, "Stand by me on the rock." Go stand on the rock. Because Jesus said in Matthew 16, "Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it." Go, stand on the rock. Because Jesus said in Matthew 21, "The stone which the builders rejected, the same was made the head of the corner." And then he said, "And he that falleth on this stone will be broken in pieces. And on whomsoever it shall fall, it will scatter him as dust." Go, stand on the rock. Because in 1 Peter 2, Peter said to those who disbelieve, "He is a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense." Many today have stumbled over the rock. Go, stand on the rock. Because those who call for the rocks and mountains to fall on them in Revelation 6 will get their wish when the Rock of Ages falls on them and scatters them as dust. Go, stand on the rock, because Jesus said in Matthew 7 and Luke 6, "Everyone that heareth these words of mine and doeth them shall be likened unto a wise man who built his house upon the rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon the rock. That every one that heareth these words of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man who built his house upon the sand. And the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall thereof. They shall look upon him whom they have pierced." Go and stand upon the rock. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to another God is Just Prayer Away radio broadcast, brought to you each week at the same time by Churches of Christ and Christian churches who are concerned about your soul salvation. The God is Just Prayer Away broadcast address, Ed Bousman, B-O-U-S-M-A-N, Post Office Box 511, Lynchburg, Ohio, 45142. Only as you reach back to us with your letter of self-support can we reach out to you with the gospel as it was preached in the days of the apostles. Praise the Lord and pass the ammunition. The address again, Ed Bousman, Post Office Box 511, Lynchburg, Ohio 45142. Until next week at this same time, don't forget, tell someone, somehow, and in some way that God is just a prayer away. God is just a prayer.